I'm having trouble getting the recording started. So, hi, this is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm happy to be here with you to talk about, are you in resistance? So we're going to explore what resistance is, why you resist, and how to begin to heal the resistance. And about halfway through the seminar, I'll take just a couple minutes to explain what we offer to you in the way of support. And you certainly don't have to buy anything from us to get great value out of your class tonight. So let's start by talking about what is resistance. Resistance is generally doing the opposite of what someone, and that someone can be yourself, or that someone can be God, wants you to do. It can also mean doing it, but doing it badly. It can mean forgetting and procrastinating. It can also be an inner power struggle that occurs between two parts of your wounded self, such as one part of you says, you know, we have to get up early this morning and go and work out, and we have to eat well today. And then the resistant part of you basically says, you know, you're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want. And very often people do have these inner power struggles going on where, you know, one part is trying to control and the other part is going into resistance. So this generally happens when we were brought up with one or two parents or siblings or other people in our lives who were very controlling. If you think about, if you're a resistant person, if you had somebody in your childhood who was very controlling with you, and what you learned to do with that, how did you learn to in one way go along but in another way resist what was going on? So this is what people learn. They learn to go along in some ways, and then they learn to resist in other ways, to not completely give themselves up to a controlling person. So this pattern of resistance can get started really, really early. It can show up in a lot of ways, like if you had a parent that was really harsh regarding, you know, bedtime, for example, you might have gotten in bed, but you wouldn't sleep, or was really harsh around grades. You might have started to do poorly in school. Or maybe you did really, really well in school, but you would dawdle a lot, which would make your parents feel nuts around time. Some people I work with learn to hold their bowels in, for example, as a way to resist being controlled. It's like, well, at least that's something I can have control over. So it's an early pattern that does get established when there's a very controlling parent or more than one parent. And the child learns various ways to not lose yourself completely. Now, this might have been a good coping mechanism when you were growing up, because it did prevent you from feeling like you were completely controlled, like you were being completely invaded or you completely lost yourself. And so it may have been a very appropriate thing to do as you were growing up. But now the problem is that you might continue to do this in response to yourself or a response to a partner or a response to your higher power. And this might be immobilizing you in your life. It's certainly not a healthy pattern when there's something that you feel like you want to do and you're not doing it because some part of you is saying, well, you know, you're not the boss of me. I don't want to be controlled by you. So it's important to deal with this pattern if you're finding that there's some kind of immobilization that's getting in your way. One of the things that you might be resisting is self-care. A lot of people find that even though they might know what to do, even though they might know that they need to eat well and exercise and get enough sleep and things like that, that they resist that self-care. Even, you know, if you're involved with inner bonding and you know that practicing inner bonding, for example, is going to make you feel a whole lot better, you might be resisting spending the time to do the process. So why do we resist? What's going on that we resist doing the very things that we know we need to do to feel good? So there's a bunch of reasons why why people have sort of unconsciously decided that they don't want to take care of themselves. And one of them is that a lot of people believe that somebody else can do it better. Somebody owes it to us. Somebody can take care of us better than we can. Why should we have to do it? We had to do it when we were younger. Why should we have to do it now? It's not my job. It's somebody else's job. And so the wounded self says, well, if I do it for myself, then nobody will ever take care of me, and that's the thing that's really going to feel good to me. It's not going to feel good to me if I do it for myself, which is a huge, huge false belief, because really that's the thing that feels the best. But so many people are locked into the belief that the only thing that really feels good is somebody else taking responsibility for you, doing it for you. And so people go into resistance to doing it for themselves because of that. People are afraid that they can't do it. They tell themselves, well, I can't do it. I'm going to fail at it. I'm not going to do it well enough. Now, surprisingly, not that many people say that to themselves when they have a baby. If they want a baby, if they want a child, they don't say to themselves, well, I can't do this. I don't want to take care of this child. I'm going to adopt the child out and get somebody else to do it. They don't do that if they wanted the baby. Of course, if they didn't want the baby, then, of course, that's exactly what they do. But those of you that are on the phone who have a child and who wanted to have a child, you didn't say, well, you know, I can't do it well enough, so I'm going to get somebody else to do it for me and adopt this child out. That's just not what you that's not what you did. But that's what we do. That's what a lot of people do on the inner level. They adopt the kid out. You know, somebody else. Somebody else can do it better. I don't want to take the risk of failing. I don't want to take the risk of doing it badly. And so I'm going to try and get somebody else to do it. Another reason why people resist self-care is if you grew up with parents who you're angry at, who were abusive to you in one way or another, you might feel like you don't want your parents to think that you did a good job. I find this fairly often with the people that I work with, that people don't want their parents to think that they did a good job. And so they're punishing their parents by resisting, by not taking care of themselves, not taking responsibility for themselves, messing up, screwing up, procrastinating, forgetting, doing all the things that people do in resistance, because they're actually punishing their parents. And they can't stand the thought that of doing well and of being happy and their parents patting themselves on the back and saying, see, I did a good job. And they'd rather be miserable. They'd rather live their lives in misery than for them to think that their parents think that they did a good job. Now, the fact is that we cannot take care of ourselves from our wounded self. The wounded self, for those of you that are new to inner bonding, is the part of us that learned to resist, the part of us that wants to be in control and doesn't want to be controlled. And this part has no access to being able to love. In order to take care of ourselves, we have to have access to our higher selves, our spiritual guidance, whatever that is for you. We have to have access to a source of love and a source of wisdom about what loving action is. And so we can't do it from the wounded self, because the wounded self is disconnected. It's always disconnected from a source. The wounded self, while it may believe in God, it doesn't have any connection to a higher source at all. And so it doesn't have the ability to take care of ourselves. And so when you hear yourself saying, I can't do it, that's your wounded self. Being honest, I can't do it. I can't do it for my wounded self. I can only do it, I can only take loving care of myself when I'm connected with my higher guidance, bringing love in, bringing wisdom in, bringing the power and strength in to take care of myself. So when you hear yourself saying, I can't do it, you need to realize that that's your wounded self. Now, most people grew up with a lot of core shame. And core shame is the belief that there's something basically wrong with me. And most people decided on this. This was like an unconscious decision that the reason I'm not being loved or the reason I'm being abused is because I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable enough. And this is a decision that created the wounded self. And what this did is it took us out of the feeling of helplessness, and it gave us a sense of control. Because when we tell ourselves that it's our fault, then we feel that we can do it better. And then we'll have control over other people not treating us badly, which of course is a huge false belief. But this is a decision that most people made as they were growing up, that they're not good enough, and that's the way, that's the reason they're not being loved. Well, once you make this decision, then the wounded self comes in, and when you think about self-care, being loving to yourself, the wounded self comes in and says, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve love. Now, whenever you hear yourself say that, this is a red flag that's telling you that you're very, very attached to trying to control other people. The not deserving, the core shame, the I can't do it is all about wanting to get somebody else to take care of you, coming from that belief that somebody else loving you is what's going to really do it for you. Where, you know, those of you who have had the experience of bringing love into yourself, bringing love down into your heart and into your soul and filling yourself up, you know that the greatest joy in life is filling yourself with love and sharing that love with others. Far, far greater than whether or not you get love. But the wounded self that doesn't believe that. The wounded self believes that it's the getting of love that fills us up. So whenever you hear yourself say, I don't deserve to love myself, just realize that that is your wounded self really wanting to have control over somebody else doing it for you. So what heals resistance? Let's talk about what heals resistance. Now, what heals it is about our intention. And as many of you know, inner bonding is based on the concept of only two intentions. One is the intention to learn about what's loving to yourself, what's in your highest good, and the other is the intention to protect against pain with some form of controlling behavior. Now, as long as the wounded self fears being controlled by another and losing yourself, you will resist. So the intention here in resistance is to protect against losing yourself, to protect against being controlled by another person. As long as that is your highest priority, or being controlled by yourself, or being controlled by spirit, as long as your highest priority is to not be controlled, rather than to love yourself, or in other words, to have control over not being controlled, then you will find yourself in resistance. And the fear of this goes away when you develop a loving adult self, which is what inner bonding is all about. It's about developing a spiritually connected, loving adult who is more interested in what is truly in my highest good, your highest good, than in whether or not somebody else is trying to control me, or whether or not spirit is, or whether or not I'm going to be controlled in some way. That actually, whether or not I'm controlled becomes irrelevant. It doesn't matter to the loving adult whether somebody is trying to control or thinks they control or thinks they won or thinks they were a good parent or any of that. The loving adult doesn't care about that. The only thing the loving adult cares about is, am I being loving? Am I filling myself with love? Am I supporting my own highest good? Am I doing all that I need to do so that I feel happy and safe and fulfilled inside? That's what the loving adult is most concerned about. Whereas the wounded self is going to constantly be concerned about whether or not I'm being controlled. So this is a very definite decision here. As to, is it more important to you to not be controlled, or is it more important to you to be loving to yourself? Is it more important to have control over not being controlled, or to be loving to yourself? So in order to let go of the fear of being controlled and to truly take loving care of yourself, you have to be willing to lose the other person rather than lose yourself. Because the big fear that the wounded self has is of losing oneself, being controlled and losing oneself. And without a loving adult, if you open to somebody, you cared about somebody, you could very well give yourself up in order not to lose that person. And that's very terrifying to a lot of people. This is where the fear of intimacy comes from, is that, oh my God, if I let myself open and love myself, love others, that person's going to be so important to me, I'm going to give myself up, I'm going to lose myself, I can't let that happen. And so in order to feel safe enough to give up the resistance, that little child in you needs to know that you would rather lose the other person than lose yourself, that nothing is going to make you give yourself up. No matter how much you care about somebody, how much you love somebody, nobody is going to make you give yourself up. Once you're willing to lose the other person rather than lose yourself, once that child inside really knows that, then the heart can open to loving yourself and sharing that love with others. The other thing that creates a sense of safety is that the loving adult needs to know how to speak your truth and set limits. The child inside needs to know that you're going to speak up, you're going to set limits rather than give in or resist. And so it's so vitally important to develop that loving adult, that spiritually connected loving adult, which is what happens when you practice the inner bonding process. The inner bonding process is like, you know, like if you wanted to develop muscles, you exercise, and over time of exercising enough, you develop muscles. Well, inner bonding is like the exercise for developing the loving adult. The more you practice inner bonding, the stronger the muscle of the loving adult gets. So if you want to get beyond your resistance, you're going to need to practice inner bonding and develop that loving adult self, so that you're no longer going to resist or give in. And a part of this is needing to know how to go to your guidance, how to access your spiritual guidance for what's in your highest good. When you have a loving adult who can open to your guidance and say, what is in my highest good? Let's say that somebody comes to you, let's say your partner says, I want you to go mow the lawn. And, you know, your tendency might be to either give in, oh, I better mow the lawn, or he or she will be angry with me, or I don't want to be controlled, so I'm just going to say no and resist. That's what the wounded self does, is either give in or resist. But what the loving adult does is go to guidance and say, is it loving to me? What is in my highest good? Is it loving to me to mow the lawn? Is it loving to me to have sex with my partner? Is it loving to me to spend time with this person? Is it loving to me to do whatever it is this other person wants me to do? And we're going to our guidance, we're asking, what is in our highest good? Rather than either giving in or resisting. You see, and so unless you have that loving adult with the intention to learn, who can go to your guidance and ask for what is in your highest good, you're stuck with your wounded self. You're stuck either giving in or resisting, which creates a big problem. So the way out of resistance is to practice inner bonding. So I'm going to take a few minutes right now to share some of the things that we have, and then I'm going to take questions from the people online and some of the questions that people have written in. Now, we have a 12-week online e-course called the Intimate Relationship Toolbox. You can go to innerbonding.com and click on it. The first 2 weeks are free. And it's a very in-depth and powerful course for helping people to reconnect with each other and to really understand the relationship system. I also have a course that is a weight loss course that's new, but it's not quite available yet. If you send me your email and you want it, I'll let you know how to get that. We have SelfQuest, which is software. It's very, very powerful software that heals anxiety and depression, addictions, relationships, teaches the inner bonding on a very deep level. And I'm getting wonderful feedback from people who are using SelfQuest. And we always give 40% off to anybody on the webinar. If you want to email me tonight or tomorrow, I'll let you know how to get 40% off. The webinar costs $9.97. SelfQuest costs $9.97, and so you would be getting that for 40% off. But if that's not something you can afford, we have on the SelfQuest site something we call Option 4, which you scroll down the bottom, and you can apply for financial assistance, and you can get SelfQuest for what you can afford. So we encourage you to work through SelfQuest. It's a very powerful way of learning and practicing inner bonding. And my email is margaret@innerbonding.com. So if you want to email me about that, that'd be great. We have a wonderful membership site with a sliding scale. Most people can find a level that they can afford and get a tremendous amount of support on the site. I answer your questions. We have forums, chats. There's so much going on the site. I do both individual and conjoint sessions with couples on the phone, as well as I have a phone group. And also, we have facilitators. If you can't afford what I charge, we have facilitators who also do phone sessions. We also have five-day intensives. The upcoming April one is filled, but we have one starting June 29th. So if you're interested in the intensive, you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND, 888-6-INNER-BOND for information. We also have a free course, which you can access through the website at innerbonding.com. And, of course, every few weeks I do free webinars like this one. So I have a bunch of questions. One of the things that I usually do in these webinars is I work with one of you online. We've got quite a few people online. And if you would like to do some work with me, it's very safe. You can get a bit of the inner bonding process, a little bit of it, and you can press star 7 to talk, press star 7 to talk, and then you can press star 7 to mute, so star 6 to mute, I'm sorry, star 7 to talk, star 6 to mute. So if anybody would like to press star 7 and do a little bit of work with me, usually it takes people a little bit to warm up, but if there's anybody on there that would like to do some work with me, I'm happy to do some work. And I don't see anybody unclicking yet. So I'm going to start with a question that somebody wrote in. This is Leslie, and she says, is depression a part of resistance? Depression may be one of the symptoms, one of the results of resistance. Because, depression is your inner child letting you know that you're abandoning yourself. That's one of the major ways that our inner guidance lets us know that we're in our wounded self and we're abandoning ourselves. And so when you're in resistance, you're definitely abandoning yourselves. That's a big form of abandonment. And so it may create resistance. It may create anxiety. It can create shame. There's a lot of things that you can feel as a result of resistance, and depression may be one of them. So is there anybody yet who would like to work with me? Not yet. So,
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, what's your name?
Beverly.
Hello, Beverly.
How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
I actually started the inner bonding, the last tele conference that you had.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I'm in resistance because I just stopped. And like every time I get an email that says my payment hasn't been requested, I just look at it like it's, I don't know, something foreign. But
uh-huh.
what I want to say is that I'm listening to you about the resistance, and I was I suffered from sexual abuse as a child. My mother is still friends with the family, you know, and that's something I had to deal with. But I noticed that as a grown woman, certain times when you know you get sexual overtures, that's just part of being an adult. But I noticed myself at sometimes it takes me back there, and I just turn into this obstinate. I guess that's the resistance. I just get very mean, and I know I'm like, oh, my God, you're like 5 years old right now, and
right.
I can't get out of it. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, so there's a wounded part of you that was, you know, devastated by the abuse and by that level of violation and that level of control. So it's very, very understandable that you would go into this extreme resistance, because when you're sexually abused, that's one of the deepest forms of violation and control. And right now, Beverly, I'd like you to just put your focus in your heart. Just breathe into your heart right now. And I'd like you to invite the presence of love and compassion into your heart for that five-year-old. For that stubborn, resistant five-year-old who's doing the very best she can, given what happened to her. I'd like you to see if you can really move into deep compassion and caring and gentleness and tenderness for that part of you. Are you able to do that?
I just feel like she's just so hurt.
She's very hurt. She's
yes.
very hurt. And the thing that heals the hurt is your love, your compassion. You see, what's happening here, Beverly, is that you're having a tendency to become her.
Yeah.
See, so I want to give you an image. Some of you may have heard this before, but I want you to imagine that your little girl, your little five-year-old, is in a river. And the river is emotion. And she's drowning in this emotion. Now, you're on the bank, and you're the adult. The problem is that when she's drowning in emotion, instead of you reaching in and pulling her out and holding her and comforting her, you jump right into the river with her, and you're both drowning.
Yes.
You see? So that's not going to help her, for you to jump in the river with her. She needs you to stay on the bank. She needs you to throw her a life preserver. Pull her in, wrap her in a towel, hold her in your arms, be in compassion for her. That's the only thing that's going to make her feel safe. Now, would you be willing to try that right now, to not become that five-year-old, but to move into love and compassion for that five-year-old? Are you willing to try that right now?
Yeah, if I may be honest, her anguish is so overwhelming that I just can't even imagine it.
Well, yes, of course. It's hugely overwhelming. And that's why you need to be bringing the love and the compassion of spirit. You can't manage it by yourself, Beverly. We can't manage that level of heartbreak, of devastation, of shattering. On our own. It's too big. It's too much. The problem is you're protecting against her pain. with resistance. And all that does is continue to hurt her. Because now you're the one abandoning her. And she needs you. She needs you to open your heart to the unconditional love of spirit that's here, which is what gives you the strength to be here for yourself with compassion. Let's just try it right now for 1 minute. Would you be willing to try it for 1 minute?
Yes.
Okay. So for 1 minute, focus in your heart, open to compassion, and imagine holding her, that very, very hurt five-year-old. Imagine holding her. She's so shattered. She's so heartbroken. She's so devastated. And just imagine holding her with love and breathing into that. Can you do that for a minute?
Well, I smiled.
Pardon me?
I smiled, so yes, I guess I did it.
Okay, you did it. And this is what you're needing to practice. Even if you can only do it for a minute at a time, you're needing to practice being that loving adult and being in compassion for that very, very hurt child. And I assure you that if you do this for a while, it's going to get easier and easier for you to let go of the resistance to being there for yourself, to doing inner bonding, to joining the website, to reading the articles, all the things that you know would be helpful to you. If you just spend even 1 minute a day, and then maybe extend it to 5 minutes a day, you're going to find it getting easier and easier. Are you willing to try that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, Beverly.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else online that would like to do some work with me? Okay,
how do I mute this?
Star 6 mutes, star 7 unmute, star 6 mutes.
Okay.
So would anybody like to press star 7? Okay, I'm going to take some more questions here. So this is from Suzanne. Think about how I want to develop a morning practice of exercise and meditation, yet I never do it. I have the time, and I know it would be good for me. It's like I don't want to spend the time with myself, and I avoid doing it. What is this resistance? So, Suzanne, first of all, if you're on the line, I'd like you to go inside and see whether you're making yourself do a form of exercise or meditation that you don't really like. The thing is, we decide on these things. We decide, oh, I'm going to do this form of exercise, or I'm going to do this form of meditation, when, in fact, we don't like doing it. The only thing that I have found that enables me to do exercise every day and to do my meditation every day is having found a form that I love. I love to walk, and for me, my meditation is inner bonding. I'm not a sitting meditator. I've never been able to just sit. That's not me. I don't like it. And I love inner bonding as a meditation. So I walk up and down hills every morning, and I do my inner bonding work. Now, I love this. My whole being loves it. My child loves it. My adult loves it. And so there's no resistance because I love doing it. But if I were to force myself to do something that I didn't love to do, then that would create a problem for me. I would go into resistance if I didn't love doing it. So that's one thing about why you might not be doing it. I hear in the question that there's a wounded part of you saying, well, it would be good for me, but I don't want to spend the time on myself, and I avoid doing it. Well, it just sounds like that you're trying to spend time in a way that's not that fulfilling and satisfying for you. So when it comes to something like exercise, I really encourage all of you to find what you love to do. it's never going to work to force yourself. You're just going to go into resistance. If you're forcing yourself to do something you don't love to do, you're just going to go into resistance. Okay, is there anybody online who would like to do some work with me? Okay, I'm going to take another question then. So this is kind of the same question. This person says, I know what to do, but I resist doing it. How do I overcome this? What steps can I take? So once again, the steps that you need to take is inner bonding.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, what's your name, honey?
Oh, hi.
So this is kind of the same question. This person. Go ahead. I know what to do.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I guess I was getting feedback from the online.
Too. What's your name?
Shayna.
Shayna?
Yeah.
Okay, how can I help you, Shayna?
Yeah, thank you. Where I feel stuck with this is, how do you know, how are you able to do this from a loving adult place to help that wounded child if you weren't taught or shown or mirrored as a child that you are whole and lovable?
Well, the fact is most of us weren't. I wasn't.
Right.
I'm sure most of the people on the line were not mirrored that. And it's very sad that we weren't. And it's very sad that we did not have role models that showed us how to love ourselves and that mirrored how wonderful we are. But we didn't. And what inner bonding is about connecting to a higher source of guidance. For me, my guidance is my role model. See, I can't know this in my head. You know, before I started doing inner bonding, I let other people define me. And if they liked me, I was good. And if they didn't like me, I was bad. And I let other people define me. But after I started doing inner bonding, I realized, oh, I can go to my spiritual guidance and I can define myself and mirror myself through the eyes of a higher wisdom. Because we all have this higher self around us, whatever you want to call it. It's part of our soul. It's part of our guidance. It's all around us. It's always here. And the thing that allows us to access this is our intention to learn about loving ourselves. When we move into an intention to learn about loving ourselves, we raise our frequency high enough to access that information, because that information exists at a higher frequency than we operate at. But it's the intention to learn about loving yourself that raises your frequency so that you can access that information. It's not as hard as you think. And that guidance becomes the role model for being a loving adult. So, but I think throughout life we have situations. I mean, I always have new situations come up that I don't know how to deal with. I don't know what's loving to me in this particular situation or that particular situation. So I have to go to my guidance and say, well, what's in my highest good here? What would it look like to love myself here? This is an ongoing thing.
Uh-huh.
You see, so we don't have to rely on, you know, whether or not we were mirrored as children or whether or not we had role models, because that's actually built in. That guidance is there. It's always here for us. And when you practice inner bonding, you learn how to access that. And truly, it's not as hard as you think it is. In fact, I can help you with that right now, Shayna, if you like.
Okay.
Okay. So I'd like you to just tune inside and see what you're feeling right now.
Nervous.
Okay. So I'd like you to breathe into the nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
And put your focus in your heart and see if you can find a place in you that's really curious about what you might be telling yourself that's causing the nervousness. And ask that nervous part of you, what am I telling you that's making you nervous right now?
That you're very exposed right now.
And what's going to happen if you're exposed? What are you telling yourself is going to happen if you're exposed?
You're not going to be able to handle it.
Okay, so you're telling yourself, I'm not going to be able to handle this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's making your little girl very anxious.
Mm-hmm.
If you're telling her that you as an adult are not going to be able to handle being exposed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'd like you to imagine that around you is an older, wiser part of you. It's like your higher soul, who is not trapped in the body and has access to an infinite amount of information. Can you imagine that for a moment?
I can if I imagine a certain relative of mine that I feel that way about.
Okay, so imagine that relative.
Mm-hmm.
And this is somebody that you love or have loved?
Yes.
Okay, so imagine that. Is this kind of a wise and loving person?
Exactly.
Okay, so I want you to imagine that relative.
Mm-hmm.
And now, move into that deep intention to learn about really wanting to know the truth. And I want you to ask that image, that higher part of you that looks like this relative, is it true that I can't handle this? Is that true?
Well, her answer would be no, it's not true.
Okay, ask her why not. I think I can't handle it. Why are you saying that I can't?
That I can?
Yeah. How mm-hmm. come you're telling me that I can when I think I can't?
Because I know that you have everything it takes.
Right. Now, who are you going to believe right now? You have the choice of who to believe. This very loving, wise image of this relative, or this wounded part of you that's telling you that you can't handle it. Which one do you want to believe right now?
Which one do I want to, or which one do I?
Which one? You can choose.
Right.
You can decide. Which one do you want to believe?
I want to believe her.
Okay. So make that decision. I'm going to believe her. See, the part of you that's saying that I can't do it,
mm-hmm.
this is a young part of you. The wounded self is young. It's 5, 10, an adolescent is young. And the
right.
wounded self has been programmed with a lot of false beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the false beliefs you've been programmed with is, I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly that part of you can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that part of you is 5 or 10 or 15, she can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the strength of your higher self, if you have the strength of this relative behind you, with you, then can you handle it?
Hmm. I'm not sure.
Okay. You would have to have some experience with that, and that's what would have to happen. That's what would happen if you were to practice inner bonding.
Uh-huh.
You would start to see that you can actually bring this relative strength into you,
mm-hmm.
that it can become a part of you,
mm-hmm.
and that, in fact, you would be able to handle whatever it is that came along as long as you were connected with that higher part of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that higher part of you can also begin to define you, begin to mirror you. If you were to mirror yourself through this relative, what would this relative say about who you are?
I almost think it would be more effective for me to be able to embrace this if I just looked at it as what would God say.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
What would God say?
Or
it can be whatever that is. What would God say?
Kind of no debating that one.
Okay. So what would God say? What would God say about who you are?
Mm-hmm. That you absolutely have everything within you to handle whatever life brings you.
Okay. So God is mirroring an aspect of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
An aspect of you that your parents did not mirror, right?
Right.
Now, who are you going to believe, your wounded self or God?
Right.
Okay. So
how come I feel like humiliated right now?
Okay, so I'm wondering, what are you saying to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, take a look at what did you just say to yourself that created the feeling of humiliation?
Mm.
What was the judgment?
That if by doing this, exposing myself like this, that I'm not going to be liked.
Yeah. So as soon as you make that judgment, which your wounded self is making up,
mm-hmm.
then your little girl feels humiliated, right?
Right.
Okay, now go to God and say, is that a true statement?
Right.
Is everybody here not liking me because I had the courage to do some work?
Mm-hmm.
Ask God.
Mm-hmm.
What does God say?
God sends love.
Right, God sends love. So God is not judging you. God is not liking you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And honey, I can assure you that there's nobody here online that's not liking you because you had the courage to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that you're doing is not only work that can help you, but it's work that can help others.
Uh-huh.
And if you were with me in person with this group, people would be coming up to you. They'd be putting their arms around you. They'd be thanking you for having the courage to do some of their work for them.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to let that in, because your wounded self is making up things that are not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a deep breath. See if you can bring some compassion in for that wounded part of you who's so scared.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It takes practice.
Right.
You're doing fine, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have good access to your spiritual guidance.
Hmm.
And that will be a big, big help to you.
Yeah, I can
really
actually see that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to encourage you, you know, get online, take our free course, start to practice inner bonding.
Yeah, I just signed up for that. Mm-hmm.
Good. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Shana.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. And I have one more question here that I want to answer before we end.
Okay.
Are people who are perpetually late and who are rebellious in resistance? Is resistance the same as passive, as being passive-aggressive? So what I want to say about being passive-aggressive is that that is a part of resistance, but it's not the whole thing, because usually passive-aggressive is something that somebody does in reaction to somebody else, and resistance is not always that. Resistance can be in reaction to yourself, reaction to God. It can be in reaction to a lot of things. So people who are perpetually late and who are in rebellion are resistant. Yes, that is a sign of resistance. But resistance, being passive aggressive is a form of resistance. But it's just one form of resistance. There are many forms of resistance. So I want to thank all of you for being with me. I'm going to unmute so I can say goodbye to all of you. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining, and I hope you all join me in a few more weeks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.